they're planning the crime of the century. Well, what will it be? Read all about their schemes and adventuring. Yes, it's well worth the fee. So roll up, team. I'm ready to burn. I've gone that word. Who are these men of lust, greed, and glory? Rip off the mask and let's see. But that's not right. Oh no, what's the story? Look, there's you and there's me.
Hey there, fellow conspirators. Welcome back to another Liberty Conspiracy Audio, libertyconspiracy.com, Podomatic, iTunes. Good to have you here. We're opening with great music from Supertramp, their fantastic album, Crime of the Century. If you want to know what this podcast is about before you get into it, well, I'll tell you right now. It is about the executive order issued by President Obama, which claims the power to control all communications, not just telecommunications. It goes into some of the history of the FCC, the history of executive orders, and what a free world would be like. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you very much for listening. Remember, visit our website. Be seeing you. Keep fighting for freedom. Thank you. But I'll get to that in just a minute. I've got another story that, you know what? Strangely enough, it has not been reported basically at all in the pop media. And it's about the government wanting the airwaves.
Hey, whoa, what do you know? We got a song just for that. Wow, this is crazy. And it's a good song, too. It's the Ramones, baby.
I like this one. It's from the album Pleasant Dreams. Do it, Joey. You know, that little part where they go, that's right, that's right. Pretty good. So, all right, the Ramones bring us in. Now, what is this about? It's about the U.S. government. It's about the executive branch issuing something just after the 4th of July when everybody was away from home. If you go to the LibertyConspiracy.com website, you'll see it. Thanks to Russia Today, those guys uncovered this. And then other folks like Alex Jones, I think his website was the second one to pick it up. Thanks to Paul Joseph Watson. And here's the headline. Obama gives himself control of all communication systems in America. Published July 9th. And check out, he did it Friday, July 6th, late in the day. Wow. Wanted to make sure everybody knew about it, huh, Barack? Here it is. U.S. President Barack Obama quietly signed his name to an executive order on Friday, allowing the White House to control all private communications in the country in the name of national security. Did you hear about this one on NBC? ABC? Where were these people? Strange. Here's the story of a not-so-lovely lady. No. President Obama released his latest executive order, and they have the link at the Russia Today website, which is linked from our Liberty Conspiracy site. He signed this on Friday, July 6th. It's a 2,205-word statement offered as the, quote, Assignment of National Security and Emergency Preparedness Communications Functions. And although the president chose not to commemorate the signing with much fanfare... These guys, they know how to write a little dig. That was good. The powers he provides to himself and the federal government under the latest order are among the most far-reaching yet of any of his executive decisions. Quote, get this. Gee, I wonder why I'm not talking about a story about which I know very little, about which I have very little control, and I understand many people are emotional about this. But, maybe I should just spout off about the Trayvon Martin thing, you know? The Zimmerman trial. This is something I actually do know about. And it's something that I should have control over, but it's being done to me. And I understand people want to sound off about the Zimmerman thing. We'll get some information out there. But really, how much can we know? This, I think we should know. President Obama adds that it is necessary for the government to be able to reach anyone in the country during situations it considers critical, writing,
Well, sweetie, such communications must be possible under all circumstances to ensure national security, effectively manage emergencies, and provide national resilience.
National resilience. He makes it sound like it's some sort of plastic product. It's like the Sham Wow. Yeah, you can work it out, string it out. This thing's amazingly resilient. Only $19.95. You gotta call now. NSA operators are standing by. We did that. I love that little skit. It's a funny one. Yeah, national resilience. Later, the president explains that such could be done by establishing a, quote,
joint industry government center that is capable of assisting in the initiation, coordination, restoration, and reconstitution of NSEP, National Security and Emergency Preparedness, communication services, or facilities under all conditions of emerging threats, crisis, or emergency. The views of all levels of government, the private and nonprofit sectors, and the public must inform the development of NSEP. I love that. Inform NSEP communications policies, programs, and capabilities, he adds.
So here we go. We're going to have the National Security and Emergency Preparedness Communication Services coming up with new rules about when and how they're going to be able to take over the internet, the phone system, and radio waves.
We want the airwaves. That's right, that's right. We want the airwaves, baby.
Break a mirror, roll the dice, run with scissors through a chip and firefight, go into business with a grizzly bear, but just don't sit down, 'cause I've moved your chair.
Welcome back to Liberty Conspiracy Radio. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. Nice to have you along for the ride, everybody. Remember our website, libertyconspiracy.com, because freedom's out of fashion, other platitudes, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. I'm LG Grande, the G-Big, the G-Man with my G-Plan, looking for the golden and. I'm going to bring into the tan van and all that other stuff. Okay. By the way, last night, one of the local stations around, they replayed Slumdog Millionaire. Great movie. Just, man, what an awesome movie. I was just thinking about it because it's a wonderfully romantic story, but it's, you know, it's got tragedy all through it and stuff, and it's really an amazing thing. I was just thinking about it. So if you haven't had a chance to see Slumdog Millionaire, really, really good movie. The soundtrack for it is fantastic as well. Okay, I opened up the program talking about something that is little seen on television, maybe even less than fewer people saw information about this on the pop airwaves than maybe saw Slumdog Millionaire last night on a local Boston television station, which is carried on cable. And what is it about? Well, I mentioned before, we talked about the government wanting the airwaves, right?
right. That little Ramones tune in the background there.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay, now. I want to continue with this because I think it's really important. Then I want to move into more information about Edward Snowden, and then maybe a little bit later talk about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman trial, and open up questions and discussion about that as well. If you want to email me, libertyconspiracy@yahoo.com, I'll open up the Skype line. Feel free to call or write. It's Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, .Goldsmith on Skype. You don't have to call in verbally. I love getting people's opinions, though. That's very cool. So I want to go back to the Russia Today piece. I just posted it on my Facebook page again. This is an executive order signed Friday, July 6th, 2,205 words, and that is a heck of a scary short story. And it basically, it claims the power for the executive branch to, under what they call the Assignment of National Security and Emergency Preparedness Communications Functions Executive Order, to gather up all communication. And the interesting thing about this is they don't even talk about just electronics communications. That's the funny thing. Here it is. President Obama wrote this. The federal government, or his attorneys did, the federal government must have the ability to communicate at all times and under all circumstances to carry out its most critical and time-sensitive missions. Okay? Now, what's interesting to me is they already have the emergency broadcast system. You know, with that stupid breed, breed. You know that thing? It sounded like Strong Bad doing a sound effect. But yeah, you know, and the guys come on and they do that weird, a tornado is on its way, right? We now resume Oprah reruns. You know, that sort of stuff. So they already have that. So evidently that's not enough, though. Survivable, resilient, enduring, and effective communications, they say, both domestic and international, are essential to enable the executive branch to communicate within itself and with the legislative and judicial branches, state, local, territorial, and tribal governments, private sector entities, and the public allies and other nations. President Obama adds that it is necessary for the government to be able to reach anyone in the country during situations it considers critical, writing, quote, such communications must be possible under all circumstances to ensure national security, effectively manage emergencies, and improve national resilience. And as they say at Russia Today, later, the president explains that such could be done by establishing, quote, a joint industry government center. Don't you love that one? I always love these public-private partnerships. You know, in the old days, when they actually used political terminology a little more precisely, they used to call that fascism. But, you know, nowadays, it's joint industry government centers or public-private partnerships. Oh, come over here, hug me. I feel so nice and cozy. Oh, man. Joint industry government center that is capable of assisting in the initiation, coordination, restoration, and reconstruction of national security and emergency preparedness communication services or facilities under all conditions of emerging threats, crisis, or emergency. I just, you know, I had to go into the sort of porn voice. All right, baby. The views of all levels of government, the private and nonprofit sectors, and the public must inform the development of this system of these communications policies, programs, and capabilities. Don't you love that? So they're making it sound like, oh yeah, we want to hear everybody's voices as we initiate our own completely singular move to take over anything we want. We want to hear your opinions as we arbitrarily crush your ability to be able to communicate. As we take over the mediums through which you will communicate. Now, I've stated before, and I wrote a big piece for it, some of the early members of the cabal, the people who have contributed to the Liberty Conspiracy, they've got access to this in the Yahoo group that I created many years ago. I wrote, I don't know how long it is, like 20-something pages long. It's a bit of the history of the creation of the FCC. And I did a ton of research on it, and, you know, it comes from, and I'm sure you can go to Wikipedia and stuff, but there are some liberty aspects that are not mentioned, I'm sure, on Wikipedia. I haven't looked at it, but I'm just guessing, but I'm pretty certain that they wouldn't mention these things. First off, the Constitution. Well, first off, the FCC. This is one of the ways that they have gotten away in the past with trying to regulate what goes over the airwaves. We want the airwaves, right? Actually, they wouldn't do it that jazzy, would the Ramones? No way. Joey wouldn't do it like that. So anyway, Richard Cheese would. But anyway, so they have excused all their regulations and the takeover of the internet and, you know, all these types of things, the cable television regulation, because they have said that it goes over state borders and the radio spectrum is a scarce resource. Therefore, the government has to do it. Now, leaping from point one to point 6,000, it makes no sense to me, especially when private markets can do a better job, and there is nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government the power to do this. They started with the Federal Radio Commission, which was actually headed up by Herbert Hoover, of all people, and then they changed it to the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, once television came around. Now, one of the things I'd noted on previous shows, I think twice, is that And it's in my piece as well on the history of the FCC, is that the television could have come around 5 years earlier, but the special interests that fed money to the politicians who wanted to run for office, like Herbert Hoover and others, in the FRC, and various congressmen who could influence the FRC, they didn't want, these radio station owners didn't want, and they own numerous ones, they didn't want television to come in because it would compete. They didn't want the competition. So that's why it got delayed, because the FRC wouldn't grant the licenses, because the government had claimed the power to own the airwaves. It's ridiculous. And as I said, you know, some people argue that, well, it's a limited spectrum. Well, there are only a certain number of usable trees on the planet any given day. What are you going to do? Is the government going to take over all the forests and tell us what we can print? It's stupid. It's ridiculous. So I want to go from that to this executive order in sort of a light speed jump when we return, and then talk a little bit about Edward Snowden. Then we'll talk about the Zimmerman thing a little bit. Sound good? All right, cool. All right, stick here. I'm opening up the Skype line during the commercials.
Cigarette in a room where lovers go talking on the telephone.
Liberty Conspiracy Radio. We are back on the Liberty Radio Network for a Sunday night. Nice to have you here. Hey, I want to give you the heads up about one of our big, big friends. It's the Freedom Book Club, freedombookclub.com. You can follow them on Twitter at Freedom Book Club on that weird Twitter thing. And check out what Ferb and the gang at the Freedom Book Club, the people who visit the website, have to offer when they vote on the books. It's freedombookclub.com. You can offer a book, an idea, that other folks can check out. And the winner at the end of the month with the most votes will get concentrated buying power placed on it through the links at amazon.com. So do remember, visit the website if you can. Ferb is a bright guy. He's always looking up new things and researching interesting books, and so are the people who visit. It's freedombookclub.com. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and this is our opportunity to chat for a little while until midnight Eastern Time, U.S. You can also contact me on Skype. The Skype line is open. It's Gardner, GARDNER.Goldsmith on Skype. And I just got a little mention from my friend Malcolm that Vintage Trouble is on AXS TV tonight. Yeah, Holy Underwear. These guys are incredible. That's awesome. So true. Yes, yes, yes. If you haven't seen Vintage Trouble, check them out. Got to see them with a couple friends of mine down in Boston. Great, great band. Really cool blues rock combo. Okay, I want to continue talking about this executive order. Big, big stuff. Hasn't gotten much attention. Here is the story a little bit further into the details. Thanks to Russia Today, RT.com. Just spread the word about RT, man. They're great. Here is a little bit more. On the government's official website for the National Communications System, the government explains that, quote, infrastructure includes wireline, wireless, satellite, cable, and broadcasting. It doesn't say only certain kinds of broadcasting, by the way. And provides the transport networks that support the internet and other key information systems. This suggests that the president has indeed effectively just allowed himself to control the country's internet access. In order to allow the White House to reach anyone within the U.S., the president has put forth a plan to establish a high-level committee calling from agents with the Department of Homeland Security, Pentagon, the FCC, and other government divisions to ensure that his new executive order can be implemented. In explaining the order, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, writes that the president has authorized the Department of Homeland Security, quote, the authority to seize private facilities when necessary, effectively shutting down or limiting civilian communications. In Section 5 of his order, President Obama outlines the specific department and agency responsibilities that will see through his demands. I think I can see through his demands, too. In a few paragraphs, President Obama, sweetie, explains that the executive committee that will oversight his order must be supplied with, quote, the technical support necessary to develop and maintain plans adequate to provide for the security and protection of the national security electronic infrastructure communications, and that the same body will be tasked with dispatching that communique. Ay, ay, ay. Two, it will go to the federal government and state, local, territorial, and tribal governments. In other words, the Indians. By means of commercial, government, and privately owned communications resources. Later, the president announces that the Department of Homeland Security will be tasked with drafting a plan during the next 60 days to explain how DHS will command the government's emergency telecommunications service. Oh, man. You got to spread the word about this, you guys. This is just ridiculous. All right, so let's... if I've gotten all the information out there, I think I've imparted enough about what's going on, right? So let's go back a little bit to get the context and lessons about liberty and markets and stuff like that, because I don't want to just be alarmist, all right? But the alarm bells should be going off. I mean, what the heck? You know, what? Nobody has reported on this except Russia Today and I think the Alex Jones folks and a few others that are liberty-minded people, you know? You go to Lou Rockwell, our site, maybe some of the other folks who are involved with libertarian stuff. Some folks on Twitter, you know. So, all right. We mentioned the FCC. So the FCC has been used over the decades by various presidents to shut down radio stations that they didn't like, to try to go after certain radio hosts that presidents and other politicians didn't like. It's been used over and over again by Democrats and Republicans. Okay? So it's not a party thing. It's a machine thing. It's the machine of government invading private communications. And as I mentioned before, this whole idea of the government getting involved with communications started with the Federal Radio Commission. All right? And they know very, very well that they want to have the power. It gives the government all sorts of money because the companies have to buy the licenses, and it gives them power to be able to control speech. People say, oh, well, they're not controlling speech. They're controlling speech. Okay, they're controlling your ability to be able to talk to other people. And this is coming at a very crucial time when the United States government is trusted by fewer and fewer people, when the U.S. government is being exposed as having invaded all sorts of people's privacy, and yet people don't seem to care. They're ready to march on the streets about something that admittedly can get many people very angry, but they don't really have much to be able to do about it with a murder trial. Somebody lost his life. That is important. And it's okay to express opinions either way. Fine. But they're not mutually exclusive. Like, how come people don't know about this? But they're ready to... One woman drove 5 hours so she could be in Florida for the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman trial verdict. It's really strange to me. But that is a human story. A young guy lost his life. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But, okay. And I don't want to be critical of people who are, you know, watching that and feel it's important, whether it's for minorities to be represented properly in the justice system and not to be, you know, crushed by the police forces, if that is one's opinion, and it's very statistically very clear that's been done by the government justice systems over and over again in the United States. I don't know if you believe it was done in this way and you know, justice was railroaded in the Trayvon Martin case, you might have something on your side. I don't really know. I'm just going to offer some information later on it. What do I know? It's just watching this from, you know, 1,000 miles away and just trying to read some reports on it. And frankly, there are other things that I do have a little bit of control over, and I think I need to concentrate to get the word out. Like this. This is a big deal. So maybe if there are people running for office, I could sit there and I could say, hey, what's the deal? Do you believe the federal government should be in any way an influence on communications crossing state lines? Oh, yes, I do. No, sorry, you're wrong. I'm going to try to expose you in front of a few people. I can at least try to do that, right? Now, let's switch over to the status of the United States government in the eyes of many people. You've got a hero named Edward Snowden, right? We, if you're believing in freedom, we have a hero named Edward Snowden, who's currently trying to survive in Russia. And Glenn Greenwald, a reporter, who's been working with him to get information out. And this news story, which just came out on the 13th, headline from Reuters, Snowden documents could be the worst nightmare for the U.S. Here's what it says. Fugitive former U.S. spy contractor Edward Snowden controls dangerous information that could become the United States' worst nightmare if revealed, a journalist familiar with the data said in a newspaper interview. Glenn Greenwald, the Guardian journalist who first published the documents Snowden leaked, said in a newspaper interview published on Saturday that the U.S. government should be careful in its pursuit of the former computer analyst. Snowden has enough information to cause harm to the U.S. government in a single minute than any other person has ever had, Greenwald said. We'll tell you more about this and get into principles when we return.
You laugh at her and all the cars, she's easily confused. There isn't any wrong, all right, all wrong.
attention drives, you lose your memory. All this goes on all the time, so I don't go down there. It goes on and then it rains again.
Okay, so I'm Gardner Goldsmith, Liberty Conspiracy Radio. Oh, hold on a second. I gotta check something out here. Right on. Remember, Skype line is GARDNER.Goldsmith on Skype. That's Gardner, GARDNER, dot Goldsmith on Skype. By the way, you know what I want to do on the show, which I think would be really, really cool, is I have a couple friends from college. Three or four guys that I would love, maybe five guys that I'd love to bring on one at a time, just to talk about what they do. You know, one of the neatest things I ever got to do. I know I'm sort of diverging from the subjects at hand that are, you know, breaking news stories or whatever. But you know, one of the things is I am not a complete fireball, you know, comet going across the sky, burning up, constantly absorbing the oxygen of politics all the time. And I think most libertarians will tell you that. We hate looking at politicians. We hate it because they are the takers. They are the aggressors. They are the abductors. They are the thieves. And they have all sorts of rationales to get away with this stuff. And it, you know, it gets to be a bummer. I often mention I try to talk about creative people and do interviews with writers and stuff like that a lot because I think it's important. That's why I like to play music because, you know, it's upbeat. We'd like to do skits and stuff. So what I'd like to do is down the line, a friend of mine is a drummer for jazz. He does jazz drumming for a lot of different bands. Really smart guy, good guy. Another friend of mine from college is a writer, does nonfiction writing. And it's just an interesting guy. You know, it's just really, really a cool guy. Another friend of mine is the editor of a film magazine that's been around for ages. And it's read by a lot of people who work cameras, cinematography and stuff. Love to get him on just to talk about what they do, you know. Another friend of mine is a scriptwriter. He's been doing that work for a long time. I think it'd be kind of cool, you know, just hear about, yeah, so, you know, what do you do in your work? And if the guys are, you know, really well known or if they're not really well known, just to find out what they do would be cool, you know. So if you got any suggestions, feel free to email me. If you know somebody who's kind of interesting, I think it'd be kind of cool. I got this experience. I was sent to Australia. I pitched a loaf of bread in England and I got sent to Australia. No, the Rotary of Milford, New Hampshire, selected me as one of five people that got to go to a corresponding Rotary group in Australia, in Queensland, Australia. And that's in the northeastern section of Australia. And it was great. I mean, I just had a great time. And what we did was we traveled from place to place every few days and we stayed with another Rotary. I'm not in the Rotary. That, you know, it was just like, you know, local kids who could go. And or local young business prospects or whatever. So we got to go stay with families that are in the Rotary and stuff like that, meet them and have Vegemite, which is like really awful. And then we would go and visit their businesses the next day. And it was tough. It was actually really hard because we were moving every couple days. And after a while, you didn't even know what town you were in. And also, the sun is on the wrong side of the sky there compared to the northern hemisphere. So if you have any north-south orientation, which I'm very sensitive to north, south, east, west, it messes you up completely. Because when you're looking at the sun, you're not looking south, you're looking north. So east and west are flipped. So it was really strange. You know, it was funky. The giant fruit bats are in the sky and stuff. But we saw all these businesses. And the businesses were absolutely fascinating. One guy makes fishing lures, you know, and rods and reels. Another guy, appliances. We got to go down. I might have mentioned this before. We got to go down into a coal mine in Australia. And that was, like, really, really weird. I mean, that, like, it's still, it was cool. But if you get in the wrong frame of mind, you can allow yourself to get unsettled by it. If you kind of think the wrong way about it, there's this sort of suffocating feeling that even in the memory of it, it's like, oh man, I was like a mile underground. That was really weird. It's very strange. Like in a cave that they just dug out of the dirt with these like poles that they stick up. And it was really strange. And the air is like hot and they have these fans and it's just bizarre. So anyway, I would like to get involved with that and you know, occasionally get away from politics and talk to people just about their funky jobs, which I think would be really cool. Guys who are musicians, you know, how do you do it? How much do you make, you know, at a gig? You know, how often do you work? Can you drop your other job? You know, that sort of stuff. So anyway, email me, libertyconspiracy@yahoo.com, and I'll see. It could be kind of interesting, whether it's you or it's somebody else. You know, I don't want to do this as like a promo thing, but I think it'd be kind of cool to talk about. Okay, so I want to get back to this communications thing. So I mentioned the FCC, right? But this executive order of Obama goes way beyond the FCC. This basically takes control of all electronic communications abilities. And in fact, the way that it's written, the term broadcasting is not defined. So you could potentially be standing somewhere, someplace in your town square, and you might have a megaphone. And they could call that broadcasting, right? If there's more than one, then it's a broadcast. You're broadcasting, like a net. That's technically what broadcasting, the word broadcasting means, right? It's now become the secondary meaning of it if you look it up. So, all right. At the same time we've got that, and we know that it's not constitutional because there's no power granted the government to do this, and they're prohibited by the First Amendment in coming up with any law that does anything to the ability to speak or hold any sort of a public gathering, right? That's the Congress is forbidden. The federal government, right? They're forbidden. They're the ones who are supposed to write the laws. Another historical thing we should mention is that, and I've said this before, if you want to understand executive orders, it's extremely important to remember that executive orders were not, you know, de facto law that controlled some facet of America. Originally, executive orders were designed to allow the executive branch president, the president of the U.S., in his executive branch, to change something that was going on in his offices. So he could say, oh, you know, we're going to eliminate the guard at this door and move the guard over here. So he would issue an executive order. But what, and this shows you how broad the government is, how huge it is. Now he can issue executive orders for other executive employees, like in OSHA, in the FDA, in the DHS, in the IRS, in all these agencies, because they're all under executive power. None of them are constitutional. And what do you have? And the IRS. I don't think if you really look at the IRS, especially their invasion of privacy for your money, I don't think you can look at it even if you thought the amendment that allowed for the income tax was okay. I don't think that's correct. So, executive orders now act as law. And that's absolutely crazy. Not only is the executive branch not supposed to be doing that, but according to the Constitution, laws can only originate in the Congress, and they can only, they can't cede any of their power. And these aren't even powers that are granted to Congress to control what happens over radio or anything like that, right? Nothing. So once people accept the idea that the federal government can fine people for saying a word, like if I were to say a word right now, the liberty, you know, a particular word that starts with F or S or something like that, you know, if I were to say something like that, then the people at the Liberty Radio Network might get fined thousands of dollars. It's crazy. Is that free speech? No, hell no. Oh, wait, whoops. There was a time when you couldn't say that on the radio or television. They would bleep it. So, the amazing thing is that people have become accustomed to it. They accept it. And we've got to shake it from their heads that they've got to understand that not only is it not constitutional, but there are better ways to handle this through private means, private affairs. And it leads to, now where are you? The government is claiming even more power to just shut everything down. I mean, it's like, can you imagine if they were to say, well, sweetie, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I am President Obama in a time machine. I stole the doctor's TARDIS, the old Type 40, and I have gone back in time. And now I am claiming the power to shut down all newspapers and magazines, take them over, and print whatever we want, because it's important that we can all communicate. And I think these newspapers, magazines, things like that, are going to be essential for emergency services. So we're going to shut everything. They would never let anybody do that. It makes me despair, the fact that people can't connect these things intellectually. I mean, just synergistically, that they can't, or they don't bother. I think they can. We'll return next hour. We'll talk a little bit about the Zimmerman thing. Just a little, not a lot. It's hour number two of Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM. Thanks very much for joining me. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. You can find our website, libertyconspiracy.com, anytime by going to libertyconspiracy.com on that keyboard thing on your computer. Yeah, unless the president doesn't want you. See, because if the president doesn't like it, then he's going to shut it down, you see. You don't come into our county, boy, and think you're going to get on the interwebs now, do you?
we got to control things for you.
Now, if that were the voice that the president used to announce it, or, you know, maybe they had some, you know, southern dude like that sheriff from the James Bond movie. Boy, what are you talking about? Remember that guy? He was always, I don't know, he was like in Live and Let Die or whatever. Best part about that was that awesome song by Paul McCartney and Wings, which is like amazing. Paul McCartney's a genius. No, really? Yeah, really. Everybody knows that. I came to the party a little late on that one. But anyway, admittedly so. So, yeah, can you imagine if they had, you know, some, you know, evidently redneck sheriff guy get up there? See, what we're going to do, boy, is we're going to take over all the communications here, boy. You got to understand, it's for your good, right? You don't come around here thinking you're going to talk to people now, do you, boy? People be like, oh, holy crap, man. We're back at Jim Crow South. You know? It's like insane. You're not going to actually try to say something here. We got to control this for your safety. Oh, man. The statist buffoons. They're just clowns, man. It's like, it's incredible. And you know, the funny thing is, I'll get to the Trayvon Martin thing in a minute, you know, the Zimmerman story. But the thing that gets me is, you know, when you're younger, like I think I mentioned this once before on the show, but I think when I was 9 years old, right, we had this, they brought us up for some tour of the New Hampshire State House. Like, oh, and you got to meet the governor. I don't remember who the governor was. I think it might have been Hugh Gallon or some stupid thing like that. And so you're up there and you see all these chairs and all the people sit around and it's such an august body. And they tell you, oh, you know, this is representative democracy. We have rules and blah, blah, blah. And this is where people vote and this is where the laws are written. And they tell you all this stuff. They indoctrinate you into thinking like these are the laws and stuff. And then it's only later, like if somebody would just, you know, tell a kid like, hey, you know, when you're playing with your friends and somebody like starts to cheat at something or whatever in a racing or a tag game or something like that, you know, do you want that guy in your group? No, you generally don't do that. Do you hang out with people you don't like? No, you generally don't, right? And especially as you get older and you start to get more skills, then you can separate even further from those guys and congregate with people that you like and that will help you, right? That are good folks and you can help them. And what strikes me is they build up all this stuff about the state, right? And it's just, it's an amazing thing to see how people seem to think that if the state is doing something, then there must be a need for it. It must be necessary, right? You know, we're talking about this, the government doing all these things for security and defense and all this stuff. And they use that term first responders all the time. Wrong. The cops, as much as the cops are, you know, possibly going into dangerous things, they very rarely are. You know, probability-wise, the most dangerous jobs are logging, fishing, cab driving, stuff like that. You know, those are where people get injured and killed the most. It's just the way it is. Police, no. Sorry. Now, they're working in that field, but they're not getting paid voluntarily. You know? They're getting paid through tax money. So it strikes me that they want to have all these things and they want to worship the state and they people get trained into this. They're indoctrinated in it. I highly recommend checking out the School Sucks Project. School Sucks Project. It's Brett Vinant. Brett does a great job. He's been on this show. I've been on with him. And it really is amazing. Once you have your ability to, you know, keep your eyes open and push away all the stuff that they throw at you in schools, you're like, oh, man, this is just really bad. So, all right. Now, I want to move on from this Barack Obama thing with the executive order. But please spread the word about this. And I want to talk about the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman thing. All right. Because in a way, this is there's a tinge of this here that bothers me. It's this sort of everybody's got to be concerned, and involved with something that really they can't, they don't really have any control over it. And I understand that, yeah, you know, speaking out about something that is a bad thing, and, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. I think it's just a sort of threshold that can be reached where I think, you know, I don't know. I don't have enough information on this. I don't know if, you know, a guy is getting off because the kid who got hurt was a certain color and the justice system doesn't do a good job for those types of people, which has been shown, or if this is not one of those cases. I don't know, you know. But anyway, so most everybody knows, because it just, you know, it was all over the internet and everything, that you know, the George Zimmerman was found not guilty on all counts, and no lesser charges were put against him. And it's actually pretty unlikely that the civil suit is going to go through, because Florida has a law that essentially establishes a loser pays system for civil suits after someone has been found not guilty in a crime like this. It really ups the ante, and it might be tricky. We don't know. Don't know. So anyway, Hassini Gittens and Elizabeth Chuck of NBC News wrote this story. And I just want to bring it up because, of course, the president had to weigh in, because they're somehow the voice for everybody. I don't know. It's just weird. Anyway, and I say that, it's like, I don't know. You know, public outrage against the wrongdoing is absolutely awesome. You know, but there's a certain point where I was like, I just don't know. I don't know. So here it is. President Obama,
sweetie,
called on the nation to honor Trayvon Martin a day after George Zimmerman was acquitted for his murder by asking, quote, ourselves if we're doing all we can to stem the tide of gun violence. All right. Well, anyway, you know. I mean, they throw that stuff in there, but, you know, he can say it. The violence occurred. It was a gun, but, you know, Trayvon Martin was beaten on Zimmerman, so other kind of violence didn't lead to Zimmerman's death, but Zimmerman, he testified that he thought so. So now that he's been found not guilty, should Obama really be going with the law and saying that they should be trying to stem the tide of other types of gun, of other types of violence? Like the one against which George Zimmerman, according to the court, had to defend himself. Now, I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying that's what the court said, and Obama is Mr. Head of the Law for the state stuff. So shouldn't he be going and saying, yeah, well, they found we got to go with the law? In fact, he did say that, and yet he's saying we want to stem the tide of gun violence. Well, in this case, evidently, Obama must think that Zimmerman was justified and it was self-defense, right? So wouldn't he want to stem the tide of the violence against which Zimmerman was defending? I mean, I'm just looking at this logically here, right? I don't know. Emotionally, yeah, gun violence just sets off a bunch of flares, right? Whoa, jeez, yeah, definitely. But really, if you look at it legally, he should be speaking about what Trayvon Martin did to Zimmerman if he thinks that they got to go with the law. Unless he thinks that the ruling was incorrect. Then he can say something like, we've got to stem the tide of gun violence. But otherwise, Zimmerman was justified, right, President? Anyway, his comments came as family members of Mr. Zimmerman and Mr. Martin, Martin was 17, so almost Mr. Martin, as well as pundits, celebrities, and court observers, had strong reactions to Saturday's not guilty verdict, with those reactions taking various forms. From, you know, this is all obvious, whatever. Obama said, I now ask every American to respect the call for calm reflection from two parents who lost their son. And as we do, we should ask ourselves if we are doing all we can to widen the circle of compassion and understanding in our own communities. You know, okay. There's more to this. I want to give you some of this information that the great Stefan Molyneux provided and refer you to his video once more, because it's really terrific on the subject.
Here comes your parade down all the miles. Here comes your parade down all of my.